All right, everybody, it is beautiful day. It is January 12th, 2025. It's a new year. A lot of good things gonna happen this year. So let's everybody take your Bibles and go to Proverbs 29, verse 2. It said, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Now we know in the Old Testament there was a long history of good kings and bad kings, and most of them were bad. Sort of like in the United States, we have a long history of good presidents and bad presidents. And we have seen in the last, my lifetime, I've seen most of them were bad. And even, that it doesn't seem to matter if they're Democrat or Republican, they seem to mostly be bad. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. That's sort of what's been going on here the last 4 years. We've had a lot of different federal, state, local, various locations. We've had bad people that were put in government. Like in California, the fire chief, where they have the fires. The only reason she was put in place is because she was a DEI hire, diversity. She had, they had, there was people that were more qualified. They wouldn't put them in place because they were white and they were men. And really, when you're hiring somebody, you should really care less what their skin color is or what their religion is or whether they're male or female. It should be, you want to go out and hire the best. Well, it seems like our government many times seems wants to hire the worst, and that's sort of what's going on in California. Let's go to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 18. We'll go to verse 21.
Leviticus what? I'm sorry.
18:21. It's way back there. You got. What, how's that go? Genesis, Exodus, Seberia, Psoriasis? No, I don't think that's it. No, that's not it.
No.
I remember we a long time ago when I was a young man and before I had gray hair, we were taking these Bible classes, like PFAL and stuff, and we wanted to we were encouraged to memorize the books of the Bible. And there was a couple young men that were trying to memorize them. I'd say, "Oh, I know it. Genesis, Exodus, Seberia, Psoriasis." And they'll go, "Don't do that. That'll mess me up." But you got to have fun with life.
There's probably a few people trying to find that book.
Yeah, so Exodus, or I'm sorry, Leviticus. Leviticus, if you haven't got there, you can just listen. 18:21. It says, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Moloch, neither shalt thou profane the name of the Lord thy God. I am the Lord. Also in 22, it says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, for it is an abomination. And we're taught nowadays that that's noble and excellent, and to be a Christian is an abomination. Well, I believe the word of God and not what our culture says. But what I wanted to key in on is verse 21. So what's this talking about? Let any of thy seed pass through the fire. Well, specifically what that's talking about is they moved into an area where the people that had been there before were pagans and they worshiped pagan gods. One of their pagan gods was Moloch. And one of the ways they would sacrifice to their God is they would kill little children. Sacrifice children to their God. Now, in the Old Testament, there was a blood sacrifice for the Jews, but the blood sacrifice was they would sacrifice animals. And later on, God sacrificed his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could all be born again. But we're not to sacrifice our children to that. But the bigger picture that I want to get here is that Christians and men of God and real men, we protect children. evil. And remember, I was talking about in Proverbs 29, when the evil rule, the people are, you know, they're miserable. They mourn. They're miserable. They suffer. And those who suffer the most are the weakest in our culture. Women and children are the ones that suffer most under that. That's why there's a lot of nations that are really upset with the current government that we elected, because the current government that's going to be taking power is that they are okay, or they are, I'm sorry, the current government we've elected is against pedophiles. And the
body that gonna come into power. I mean, not the current, the ones.
Right, right. You're right. Okay, let me get more specific. Donald Trump is against human trafficking and sex trafficking of children. I was trying to say it more generally, but I'll get very specific. And there's a lot of governments around the world that are very upset that he's coming to power, because they live and breathe, like in the UK, mm-hmm. people like Tommy Robinson are in prison because he's speaking out against rape gangs and girls being raped and things like that. And they want to cover it up. The British, you know, a lot of people think, oh, the British crown royals are so good. They're not good people. A lot of government leaders throughout the world, a lot of government leaders in the United States are on Epstein's. You ever notice they arrested Epstein and his client list never came out? Well, a lot of people, Democrat and Republican, are on that list of people that went to that island and had sex with underage women. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Why are they allowing so much open borders in this country? Because hundreds of thousands of children go missing. And where do they go? They get sex trafficked. It's hideous. It's horrendous. It's evil. It's terrible. And real men, and real men of God, and real women of God, and real believers need to stand up against this stuff. It's evil, and it needs to be stopped. Nations have been run by the pedophiles for centuries, for thousands of years. And they got away with it. And occasionally somebody comes along. Occasionally in the Old Testament, they get a king like David. And even though he would screw up, but he would be, you know, he would try and set things right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. And somebody's still got Matt, but somebody needs to mute. Somebody's still making noise there.
Andrea, I think it might be you.
I just turned off my phone, but I only got one alert on it.
Okay. But anyway, we're getting background noise. So sometimes I know, like, I when I'm at work, we do these Teams meetings sometimes with a lot of people, 20, 30, and sometimes more. And so a lot of us, we just will mute when we're in the meeting so that we don't get, because if you're at the office and there's a lot of people talking behind you and you get all this background noise. So anyway, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You know, you really see this in politics. You know, some of our politicians are actually CIA creations. And they go in and they clean up their past. They'll, you know, give them a real good resume and everything. And they got a pretty face, and they say all the right things. And they get in. Verse 16, what happens? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? You know, and basically people say, well, I'm going to do this. And then it turns out they don't do it, and they do the opposite. And it's, you know, we're seeing that in California. They literally gave, what was it? millions of dollars worth of their firefighting equipment away to Ukraine.
They figure about half.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, the fire trucks that go to that Gavin Newsom was on the news a couple months ago, and he was bragging about how he blew up, I think it was 3 or 4 dams, and got rid of dams and reservoirs. And now in the fires, they turn on, go to the fire hydrant, go to get water, and there was no water pressure in the fire hydrants. I mean, they're intentionally doing the wrong thing. They're known by their fruit is when they rule, it's destruction and death is the fruit of their ruling. And I put on my LinkedIn account, I said the International Olympic Committee should reconsider doing the Olympics, the next Olympics in Southern California, because I don't think the government there can provide them a safe and working environment. I think they should do it somewhere else. I mean, they're turning California into a third world country.
Yep.
Verse 17, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And verse 19, every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. That's a reference to there's a day coming. We see in the book of Revelation. I don't really talk about the book of Revelation a lot because there's a lot of things there that we don't understand, and there's not, and you're not going to get there by doing biblical research. It's just there's things that are not told. It says in the Bible the hidden things belong to the Lord our God. I should have put that in here somewhere. I don't remember what that verse is. But anyway, I know it's in there. And there's things in the book of Revelation that are only partially laid out. We don't understand. But one of the things that's very clear is there's going to be a lake of fire. And people that reject God and evil people that bring forth evil fruit, they're going to be consumed and burned in the lake of fire, and they will cease to exist forever.
Hey, Jeff, is in Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I knew it was in there somewhere. Deuteronomy 29:29. Maybe I should go there. Keep your finger here. Deuteronomy. What a name for a book of the Bible. Deuteronomy. Right before Joshua. Towards the end of that book. Yeah, it says, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things that shall revealed belong unto us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. There's also a lot of things in the first 6 chapters of Genesis which are not fully explained. And God gave us what we needed to know, but he didn't explain, you know, like what color hair did Adam have? Who cares? We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Did Eve have blue eyes or brown eyes? Who knows? Who cares? So, okay, we're back here in Matthew. Verse 20. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. And I think I'll stop in verse 20. Let's go to James chapter 5. And you know what? Before we go there, let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We'll do that first, then we'll go to James 5. So 1 Timothy. I'm reorganizing the order of scriptures here.
1 Timothy 2.
Chapter 2, verse 1. So rather than just, you know, what you could do is, you know, I've laid a lot of heavy stuff on, you know, there's a lot of evil going on in the world. There always is. Because there's a devil. But what does it say here? Verse 1, I exhort, therefore, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. That's basically four different ways of saying prayer. There are different types of prayer and different terms for it, but it's basically, it's a figure of speech saying four different ways of saying the same thing. Made for all men. You know, we pray for everybody. And it's like we, Diane and I, we pray every night. We pray for everybody that attends our fellowship. And also, verse 2, for kings. Well, they didn't have presidents back then. They had kings. And all that are in authority, all the government, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty. You know, we pray for them, even though there's a lot of evil in the government and everything, we still pray. And one of the things that Diane and I pray is that the evil people get removed from our government and replaced with people that are actually godly and want to be godly public servants. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And God's will, verse 4, is that he wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is three gods. No, there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So we pray. How do we pray? We pray to, you know, Jesus taught us in the Gospels. First of all, we pray to our Father. And we don't pray to Jesus, we pray to the Father, because Jesus and the Father are two different things.
Hey, Jeff. What,
yes.
What scripture are we on?
We're in Timothy chapter 2, verse 1.
Thank you.
1 through 5. And now we're going to James chapter 5. Got Hebrews and James. And at the end of James here, it gives us an interesting little summary. And here in King James in verse 17, it says Elias. But we know it's actually the same person as Elijah back in the Old Testament, and we'll go there and look at that in a minute. But we're going to start in the latter part of verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And God answers prayers. You know, it's interesting. I was telling you before fellowship, I don't know if everybody heard, we might not have all been in yet, but we, every Saturday morning, or not every, but most Saturday mornings, we get together and we do over the phone, we pray and have manifestations with another minister, Dan Connell. And we pray about stuff. And yesterday we did this, and in manifestations, God, I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was something about, you know, God has a reason for us to pray. We don't understand it, but that's part of the process, how God moves. And I don't fully understand it. You know, why can't we just, God just act? Some reason God wants us to pray, and that helps him act. And I don't understand the reason exactly why he set it up that way, but I understand that he set it up that way. So the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, also, we're all righteous because Christ died for us and paid for our sins. All our sins are gone. They're wiped clean. And so that makes us all righteous. So we're righteous, and when righteous people pray to God, God listens and God acts. So that's where we get to in verse 17. Elijah, a man subject to like passions as we are, You know, he had to live. He had to. Elijah at one point was on the run. He had the King Ahab and evil Queen Jezebel. To me, they were a lot like Bill and Hillary Clinton, you know? Would be sort of the modern day equivalent. They had sent out all their Secret Service and all their CIA and FBI and NSA and all their black ops assassins and all their... They had them all searching for Elijah. And Elijah had to go hide. And for a while, he was hanging out by the brook. And birds brought him food. And he drank the water out of the brook. Then the brook dried up. And he went and lived with a widow and her son. Was it just a widow or a widow and the son?
She had a son.
I think she had a son. That's right. And he shows up and he says, what's going on here? And she says, well, we got the last of our wheat and the last of our oil. We're going to eat our last meal here. And we're going to thank God and then we're going to die. And he says, well, as long as I'm here, the wheat and the oil won't run out. And he was there for like a year or so. I don't know, because it was 3 years and 6 months. And remember, it says they're known by their fruit. King Ahab and Jezebel did evil. They killed the prophets of God, and they installed false prophets in their place. And because of that, God, the curse of God was on the land. Now, it wasn't God doing it. It's just that when you walk away from God, then the devil, God's blessing, he'll remove his blessing, and then the devil's free to kill and harm and all the people he wants. And so the fruit of Abraham's reign was rain, and then it didn't rain. His reign as a king was it didn't rain, R-A-I-N, water from heaven rain, for 3 years and 6 months. So that was the fruit of his life, and his leadership caused that, because he led the people astray. So I'll read this again. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So let's go to the Old Testament. First Kings chapter 17. And I got 17, 18, and 19. That's too many scriptures. I won't be able to read it all. I'm just going to kind of give an overview because we're starting to run out of time here a little bit. Yeah, so let's go 1 Kings 17, 1. We'll start there. And Elijah, the Tishbite. So is that one of those little things that you get? You get like a little Tishbite, you got to get the...
I knew you were going to go there.
No, it's not a tick. Actually, supposedly, it wasn't a Tishbite, it was a Jabeshite. So whatever, I guess he was in Star Wars. You know, he was it was a Jabeshite the Hutt. I like parody of that where they had Pizza the Hutt?
Yeah.
Spaceballs, that's it.
But you digress.
Oh, but it's so much fun to digress. So he said unto Ahab, as the Lord our God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew or rain these years according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, you better get out of here, verse 3. Because basically he told Ahab, gave him bad news, you know, and they like to kill the messenger. So that's the whole thing where he was on the run here. And then in verse 13, and the Lord Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go as thou hast said, and make a little cake first, and bring it unto me. So what he did is he said, well, this was like a principle of the tithe. You know, Elijah was the man of God. And he said, give me a little of your first fruit. Give me a little cake to eat. And then you can make a little cake for your son and you. And And verse 14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain on the earth. And they were, you know, it was a miracle, sort of like when Jesus Christ fed the multitudes with just a few scraps of bread and a few fish. And then also in verse 21, her son died, and he raised her son from the dead. So, you know, can you imagine that? The widow's there, and she thought she was going to die of starvation, and then the man of God came and saved her. Excuse me, I need a drink of water here. That is good gin. No, anyway, I'm joking. And the man of God said to her, you know, you're going to be fine. And then her son dies. And he's thinking, well, wait a minute. I thought God was going to take care of me. And the man of God raised her son from the dead. God's a God of healing. You know, it's sort of like in death. Here, it's sort of like, what's that, Princess Bride. He was only mostly dead. No, no, God can reverse death even. There's a day coming when everybody, there's a resurrection coming. Everybody that's ever died is going to get up from the dead. And here he was able to raise her son. Now it's interesting, everybody that's ever been raised from the dead in the Bible, they all later died. And like a lot of people that get healed, if they live long enough, they later die. But there's a day coming when Christ will return and all those people are going to be raised from the dead. That's a promise, and it will not fail. So in verse 18, or chapter 18, verse 1, it came to pass after many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So, again, there's a lot of scriptures here. We don't have time to get through all this.
I should read 18.
Okay, why don't you read it?
Okay, and so after all this happened, and Ahab and Elijah were meeting and confronting each other, Ahab was blaming Elijah for the drought. And Elijah said in verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, and that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam.
Yep. See, they're known by their fruit. And the fruit of the people following, the Ahab's sin, Ahab and Jezebel, their sin wasn't that they just followed Baal. Their sin was they caused other people to follow Baal and forsake the one true God. And then we had that great record here, verse starting in verse 19, and they got the people all together on Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the children of Israel. And verse 21, and Elijah said, how long are you going to hold between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal be God, follow him. And the people answered not a word. So here it was, one prophet of God against 450 prophets of Baal. And so they set up an altar. And he's in verse 23, let them cut two bullocks. And let them choose one bullock for themselves and cut it in pieces. So they did their animal sacrifice. Lay it on the wood and put no fire under it. And I will dress another bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under it. And you call on the name of your gods. And I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answers by fire, let all the people... let him be God, and let all the people answered, said, it is well spoken. So they did their thing. In verse 26, and they took the bullock, and when it was given, they dressed it, and they called on Baal from morning till noon. This went on for hours. They're going, oh, Baal, they're getting all religious. They're in all their robes. and they're all wailing and getting all emotional and, oh, Baal, answer us. And there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped on the altar that it was, they're jumping up and down on this thing. And it came to pass at noon, Elijah mocked them. And he said, hey guys, you got to get louder. There's 450 of them yelling, and he's telling them they got to get louder. For he is a god. Oh, you know, maybe he's pursuing. And I think that pursuing is an old English translation of he's out taking a dump. You know, defecating. Oh, maybe he's going to the bathroom. Or, oh, I know, he's on a journey. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe he's sleeping. You know, he's taking a nap. You know, he was partying hard last night. And you got to wake him up. In verse 28, and they cried aloud, and they cut themselves after their man. See, they were cutters. See, people, you know, mutilating themselves and cutting themselves, that's nothing new. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament. They're known by their fruit. See, the true God will never ask you to cut yourself or mutilate yourself or anything like that. See, the Lord Jesus Christ, his body was broken and his blood was shed so that our body won't have to be broken and our blood won't have to be shed. So that we could be healthy and we could be without sin and we could walk in his place. In verse 29, it came to pass that when midday was past, they prophesied. See, they operate, they prophesy too, until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. This went on all day. It was like, what, 6-8 hours? Maybe 10 hours, I don't know, 12 hours. Then finally, verse 30, and Elijah said to all the people, come near. And Elijah had to build up the altar and had to put it back together. And then he prayed, and then he had them douse it with water and douse more water. And there it is, a drought. They hadn't had a drought. They hadn't had rain in 3 years, 6 months. Heck, people around the United States, we get upset if we haven't had a rain in 3 weeks. 3 weeks and 6 days, we get upset. This was 3 years and 6 months. Well, anyway, finally they did that. And verse 37, Elijah's praying. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the fire, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and the Lord, and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Yep. So, see, they're known by their fruits. And so we're going to, hopefully we're going to have a few years of some better leaders in this country that are not going to be hiring chief of the fire department based on their sexual preference and their race and their whether they're male or female, or and as opposed to, you know, instead of hiring people that are will do a good job,
who want to actually fight fires.
Yeah, exactly.
Not causal.
Yeah. But anyway,
that was a great record. Yeah,
and it'd be nice if I could have went through and read every scripture through there, but it was just a lot, so I had to sort of give you the overview. But anyway, I'm looking forward to having some good times. The thing is, we're still got until the devil's destroyed in the lake of fire. He's still loose in this world. He's still going to be doing things. And so we have to be those people that have the fervent prayer of a righteous man, and we need to be those people that are going to pray and stop things. Because I've seen things in over and over in my life where I've had times where I've had need, time where things were wrong, and I prayed about it and it changed. God will do that for me. God will do that for you. God will do that for all of us. We all need to pray to the one true God in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can back down the works of the devil, and we can accomplish the things of godly things. So, I'm still getting some background noise from somebody. I'm going to have a prayer. We're going to close this part of fellowship, and then we'll make it available for other people to talk. I think, John, I'm picking up some stuff on your mic.
Yeah.
Okay.
Our bodies and
yeah.
Okay. Let me...
Yeah, just mute. So anyway.
There we go.
There, it's gone now.
Yeah, all right. So, Father, thank you for fellowship today in the name of Jesus Christ, and thank you that we can be those righteous men and women that come to you in prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, and we can accomplish great things. We literally have the power to stop hurricanes. We have the power to stop wildfires. We have the power to overthrow evil governments and take down evil kings and queens and evil. We have the power to change the course of history if we only have the guts and the daring just to use it and just to pray to you. So, Father, just work on our hearts to walk like Jesus Christ walked, that we can back down the devil and we can have victory in our day and time. And I thank you for this name in Jesus Christ. Amen.